God's wisdom would be our guide. We turn together in the Holy Scriptures to the prophet Jeremiah. And we're going to read from chapter 6. The ministry of the prophet Jeremiah long ago, as the Lord spoke to him and as he was called to speak to the Old Testament congregation. And from your study of the prophet Jeremiah, you know that he has been called to a very difficult task, calling the people back to their first love, calling the people back to the way of the covenant, a people who had hardened themselves against the Lord, God's own people. And chapter 6 is a portion of that testimony where God's people are called to ask for the old paths, ask for the old paths. This is God's word, Jeremiah chapter 6. Oh, you children of Benjamin, gather yourselves to flee from the midst of Jerusalem. Blow the trumpet in Tekoa and set up a signal fire in Beth Hasarim. For disaster appears out of the north and great destruction. I have likened the daughter of Zion to a lovely and delicate woman. The shepherds with their flocks shall come to her. They shall pitch their tents against her all around. Each one shall pasture in his own place. Prepare war against her. Arise and let us go up at noon. Woe to us, for the day goes away. For the shadows of the evening are lengthening. Arise and let us go by night and let us destroy her palaces. For thus has the Lord of hosts said, cut down trees and build a mound against Jerusalem. This is a city to be punished. She is full of oppression in her midst. As a fountain wells up with water, so she wells up with her wickedness. Violence and plundering are heard in her. Before me continually are grief and wounds. Be instructed, O Jerusalem, lest my soul depart from you, lest I make you desolate, a land not inhabited. Thus says the Lord of hosts, they shall thoroughly glean as a vine the remnant of Israel. As a grape gatherer, put your hand back into the branches. To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Indeed, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot give heed. Behold, the word of the Lord is a reproach to them. They have no delight in it. Therefore, I am full of the fury of the Lord. I am weary of holding it in. I will pour it out on the children outside and on the assembly of young men together. For even the husband shall be taken with the wife and the aged with him who is full of days. And their houses shall be turned over to others, fields and wives together. For I stretch out my hand against the inhabitants of the land, says the Lord. Because from the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is given to covetousness. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. They have also healed the hurts of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No, they were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see. Ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, listen to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not listen. Therefore, hear, you nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. Hear, O earth. Behold, I will certainly bring calamity on this people, the fruit of their thoughts, because they have not heeded my words, nor my law, but rejected it. For what purpose to me comes frankincense from Sheba and sweet cane from a far country? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable, nor your sacrifices sweet to me. Therefore, thus says the Lord, behold, I will lay stumbling blocks before this people, and the fathers and the sons together shall fall on them. The neighbor and his friend shall perish. Thus says the Lord, behold, a people comes from the north country. A great nation will be raised from the farthest parts of the earth, and they will lay hold of bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roars like the sea, and they ride on horses as men of war set in array against you, O daughter of Zion. We have heard a report of it. Our hands grow feeble. Anguish has taken hold of us, pain as of a woman in labor. Do not go out into the field nor walk by the way because of the sword of the enemy. Fear is on every side. O daughter of my people, dress in sackcloth and roll about in ashes. Make mourning as for an only son, most bitter lamentation, for the plunderer will suddenly come upon us. I have set you as an assayer and a fortress among my people, that you may know and test their way. They are all stubborn rebels walking as slanderers. They are bronze and iron. They are all corruptors. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed by fire. The smelter refines in vain, for the wicked are not drawn off. People will call them rejected silver because the Lord has rejected them. Jeremiah chapter 6, let's hear once again the words of verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. May the Lord continue to add his blessing as we seek to submit to the proclamation of his most blessed and holy word. Beloved congregation of our blessed Redeemer, before the age of GPS, when people traveled, they often found their way by familiar markers along the way. Head north until you get to so-and-so's farm, and then turn right, drive on until you cross the bridge over a little creek. It'll be second place on the left. And you'll probably notice the red mailbox at the road. Some of us still travel that way. The travel of life requires familiar markers, landmarks. There may be times where we are not sure where we are at. Was it to the left? Was it to the right? And then the landmark reminds us. And they help us to get our bearings and ensure that we're heading in the right direction. In the city, it may be a particular service center or an exit number along the freeway. In the country, it may be that beautiful maple tree. The point being that without landmarks, we become disorientated. Now, ours is an age of disorientation, confusion, uncertainty. Confusion and uncertainty in matters of truth. Confusion and uncertainty in matters of morality. confusion and uncertainty in these so-called COVID days. It is foreboding to know that the markers of day gone by no longer guide us as we live in a society. And that, in many ways, has marked a society that has become aimless and hopeless, with many walking in the dark, stumbling along. Also, in these days, we hear so many reports of increasing depression and the suicide rate increasing. People don't know what to do when they have nothing that holds them to something solid. Church buildings stand as landmarks, at least they ought to. Some time ago, I had the privilege of paging through a pictorial book depicting many small churches that dot the landscape of Canada. And personally, I found it fascinating more than several of the church buildings were now derelict. A message. Some standing all alone as the only remaining sign of a vanished ghost town. Others were, so to speak, buried in their own graveyards. Some were used for other purposes. Some simply historical sites. And thanks be to God, some still serving communities of faith. And as I paged through that book, I reflected somewhat on what that means for our nation and for the foreseeable future. I'm always thankful that our times are in the hand of the Lord, and that's a wonderful confession for God's people to hold on to. As we hold to that confession, we also experience that hand of pressing secularism weighing heavily in disorientated times. As has been said often, we live in a society in which evil is called good and good evil. Jeremiah, nothing new, said the same about his own particular time. People had lost all sense of direction. They were disorientated and did not even know it, wandering, drifting further and further from the truth, no longer rooted to their roots. And when the covenant with the Lord is betrayed, when the covenant is disregarded, values, covenant values, and social relationships cannot be sustained. There was exploitation. Those whom the Lord had commanded a special concern for were neglected. Jeremiah is given a message from the Lord speaking to a people who are at the point of irreconcilable differences. The Lord says it himself. He's ready to file for divorce. Earlier in Jeremiah, describing the people as a people who search for waters and broken cisterns. And Jeremiah is giving a message pleading with the covenant community, first of all, to return to the Lord. He's speaking to those who are lost. He's speaking to those who no longer know their way, who no longer recognize the markers given by the Lord. Jeremiah has searched high and low for but one good man who would execute judgment and seek the truth. And we find out in chapter 5 there was none to be found. And as chapter 5 ends, Jeremiah speaks these particular penetrating words. An astonishing and horrible thing has been committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests rule by their own power. And my people love to have it so. But what will you do in the end? Our scripture lesson finds Jeremiah still busy with his second message. It wasn't a very short sermon. And it's a sermon where Jeremiah opens his heart with the words that God himself has given him, pleading with the disobedient people, warning them of the consequences of their choice, telling, encouraging, admonishing, listen, listen. Repent. Turn from your ways or die. We heard his warning of the impending destruction from the north, a devastating destruction. Trouble is on the way. You need to listen, but Jerusalem would not heed. They have uncircumcised ears, that is, you might say, plugged ears, who have no delight in the Lord's warnings. It's like Israel's incapable of paying attention, unresponsive covenant partners, refusing to believe that warnings are given in love. Warnings intended to protect, warnings intending to call back, to rescue, to help save from harm. Oh, Jeremiah, hesitant in his work, becoming weary of his task. The weeping prophet, and he has but just begun. No place would be safe from the invaders' attack, not even the so-called holy city of Jerusalem itself, Zion. The southern kingdom was at the crossroads. The northern kingdom already dislodged, dislocated. And now, what would become of unfaithful Judah, an adulterous covenant community, the two-timing Old Testament church? When you stand at the crossroads, what do? You need to make a decision. You need to take stock of your present position. You need to get your bearings. This is not the first time that the children of Israel were at the crossroads when they entered the promised land. They faced the challenge given by Joshua when he said to them, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living." And then Joshua goes on to say, "But as for me," you know the text, boys and girls, "but as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Or remember that time when Elijah confronted the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. Can you picture it in your mind, boys and girls? All those Baal prophets, priests. Two choices. What will it be? Elijah kept challenging also the congregation when he said, "How long will you waver between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him." Now the Old Testament church, Judah, had sunk deeper and deeper into apostasy. The situation is dire. Wicked leaders among the prophets and priests proclaimed falsely. They're saying, "Oh, things will be all right, don't worry. Don't listen to that fear-monger Jeremiah." And they testified, "Peace, peace," when there was no peace. Oh, their message may have had a soothing effect for a time, but they provided no true healing from the spiritual wound that was deep in their hearts. And these so-called leaders had no discernment to deal with the sin and its effects. Within the Old Testament congregation, they didn't call for repentance. They didn't call for obedience. They didn't call for reformation. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? No. Did they know how to blush? No. When we lose our ability to blush, we know that we're heading down the wrong path. And now, what shall we say of our own age? It is certainly true that we cannot compare society at large with the church. But certainly there are spillover effects. I think even of our prayer, as we pleaded with the Lord earlier, with respects to Bills C6 and C7, bills that Parliament is pushing through to expand what is called euthanasia, and to prohibit counsel for those who have been confused by gender identity. These are issues a culture faces when they are at the crossroads. But now what of the church? What do we see on the horizon? Is the Word of God still central in the churches of our land? God knows. And ourselves, do we trust the Bible to be the truth? The whole truth. And nothing but the truth. And are preachers still bearing witness to the law of God and to the grace of the gospel? Or do we hear of those preachers that would rather tickle ears and speak a false prosperity message? Will we, congregation, defend the doctrines, the teachings of the scriptures? Young people, you give of yourself to your catechism homework, including memorization, which is so important. Will we be a people of piety? Will we be a people who know our first priorities? So are the questions a church faces when it stands at the crossroads. Are we at a crossroad with respect to these COVID matters? And how are we to handle that? How are we to do what the Lord would ask us to do in our own personal settings? Perhaps there are members of the congregation who know very, very intimately, intensely, what a personal crossroad is, dealing with loss, business practices that entangle, work situations that bring anxiety, family issues, friction between husband and wife, and the list can be expanded. How is the situation between parents and children? Is there respect in the home? Are we a people who know what it is to live with purpose? Or have we found ourselves just going through the motions? Do you find yourself hiding behind an excuse? There are Christians who wonder what God wants them to do with their lives. And sometimes that's a hard question for our young people to answer. Lord, where would you have me be? Where would you have me go? What direction? Still others are deeply troubled with spiritual questions. And sadly, there are others who may be pretending, like the people of Judah long ago. And while we cannot fool people, we cannot fool God. God unmasks pretenders, no pun intended. The Lord said, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it, and then you will find rest for your souls. Now, when we speak of the old paths, the ancient paths, we're not to think, first of all, something of nostalgia. To return to the ancient path is not a nostalgic return to old-time religion or the good old days, as if our security rests in something of a bygone era. In fact, when we read the prophet Jeremiah carefully, we see the prophet calling the people to a radical lifestyle change and a lifestyle that puts an end to complacency and every false security. You know, there are those who confess to be Christians who trust their bank account more than in the Lord. There are those who profess to follow the Lord, but in fact are simply doing what they do out of custom. And may I even say superstition, as our baptismal form speaks. The crossroads are a fork in the road. When one chooses one path over another, there are two different destinations. And as the paths diverge, they go wider and wider. For some time now, I've had the opportunity to speak with a Muslim gas station attendant in Delaware. Very friendly, open to talk, speaks in the most polite way. And he believes that while we are walking two different paths, one day we will find ourselves at the same destination. He says, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but Jesus is not the only way. And he believes that each one will find our way, and then at the end, God will be waiting for us both. But the Bible says he is wrong. And only the Holy Spirit can convict his heart that his convictions are wrong. In this post-so-called modern age, in which people no longer hold to absolutes, in which the only absolute is there is absolutely no single truth, public life dominated by pagan ideas and practices, Jeremiah, with prophetic courage, cries out. And while we may pine away for some golden age in church history, we must realize that every age has face the challenges of standing at the crossroads. And at the crossroads, we should always come to the same conclusion. To ask for the old paths. As we live out our time in year 2021, with all its upheaval, we have to go back again and again. Lord, take us along the old paths. To ask the Lord, help us to walk the path that has stood the test of time. To ask for that way prepared by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. To ask that we might be found faithful to the faith, the most holy faith, delivered once for all. To ask that in these post-Christian times that we would not be gullible, that we would have open eyes, that we would not waver, that we would maintain the good confession, declaring Jesus Christ as our only high priest, who has perfectly, completely satisfied for all our sins, testifying that Jesus Christ is the only way to arrive safely in the world to come. Beloved, never forget that it is not necessary, it's wrong to seek or invent any other means of being reconciled to God than the once for all final sacrifice by which our Redeemer has perfected forever those who are sanctified. And to remember that Christ is sufficient. Nothing more is required. To believe that faith is that instrument with which we embrace Christ, his righteousness becoming our righteousness. Do not trust in anything of yourself. Acknowledge who we are in our sin and in our great need. Great sinners with a great, great Savior. Do not rely on your own efforts to gain favor with God. Beautiful line in the Belgic Confession. Rely and rest upon the obedience of Christ crucified alone, which becomes ours when we believe in him. Article 23. When God asks his people, even as he's asking us again today, for the ancient paths, he's extending a very gracious call. If they heed the warning, if they are willing to be instructed, there would be hope. It was not too late yet. There's a certain point in the book of Jeremiah where it became too late. But before that point, Jeremiah over and over again, come back. It's not too late. Come back. When the Lord calls us, it is a measure of his grace. It is his grace when our Lord calls us through the preaching of his word, to return home, to return to him. It's his trumpet blast when he calls us to examine our lives, when he calls us to hunger and thirst after righteousness, when our minds are wayward, when our hearts are cold, when we are lukewarm, when we are misguided, when we are simply being stubborn. What a blessing that Jehovah God himself would call us back to the ancient paths. And let us never forget at heart, it is the Lord Jesus Christ who is that ancient path. He is the Ancient of Days. His blood paved the road of salvation. And only in him will we find our rest. Jesus was quoting the prophet Jeremiah when he said in Matthew 11 and 28 these beautiful words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." In our text, walk in the way, the ancient path, then you will find rest for your souls. That's our Lord. Jesus has the authority to call and invite people to himself. And he doesn't extend this invitation, first of all, to the strong, but to the weary and the burdened. An invitation that comes to us as we deal with the circumstances within society. Keeping a perspective. Yeah, there are so many frustrating and bothersome things. Some are filled with fear. Some are just simply sloughing things off. We need to be a people who keep to the point of the Lord Jesus and our rest in him. Sin is our burden, and only Jesus can lift the burden for us. And his voice is gentle, but we must give heed to his voice, not simply words in one ear and then out the other, but to take his word and live by his word. We think of Psalm 119. It's all about walking in the ancient way of God's word. Blessed are they whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Verse 1. Jumping ahead, verse 32. I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. Verse 35. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. In verse 59, I have considered my ways and turned my steps to your statutes. Verse 104 and 105, I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. Verse 133, direct my footsteps according to thy word. To walk the ancient path is to seek Jesus and his word. Yes, it's to uphold sound theology according to the scriptures. Our confessions are landmarks to be treasured. And while we cannot repeat the experiences of those who have gone before us, history does repeat itself. How many in the ages gone by have fallen by the wayside? Think of the parable of the sower. Thankfully, we can look also to the cloud of witnesses that Christ has set us before us and take courage with Christ's work through them. Don't follow novelty. Don't be deceived by false teachers. Don't let these so-called postmodern times swallow you alive. Stay the course. Walk the narrow path that leads to the kingdom to come. Our text pictures travelers who are lost, stopping, yes, to inquire about the right way they once knew before they wandered so far off it. The Lord says, now you need to ask. But Judah in defiance said, we will not. We will not walk in those old paths. We're too sophisticated. We're too far advanced. We have a higher knowledge, and we're able to navigate our own path. And Judah was about to be rejected and rejected as impure silver because the Lord rejected them. As we read in verse 30, yes, there would be a remnant, but many, many would be lost. What sobering words. When we think of GPS, Global Positioning Service, we might say that GPS is God's positioning sacrifice in Jesus Christ. In Christ, we find our position with God, and that's our great comfort. In Christ's farewell address, he told his disciples that he was leaving them to prepare a place for a prepared people. And Thomas, speaking for the disciples, confused and perplexed, asked, "Lord, we don't know the way. We don't know the path you're going. How can we know the way?" And then came that beautiful answer when Jesus said to his disciples long ago, and his disciples here this morning and at home, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And so may the Lord bless us and encourage us in the ancient path, the Ancient of Days, for his glory's sake. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we confess to be pilgrims. We confess, Lord, that when we understand life, we understand it as they travel from this world to the next. And we ask, Lord, keep us on the path, the narrow path that has been established by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are fearful, we pray, help us to trust that always our times are in thy hand. When we are doubting, help us to remember thy promises are sure. When we are straying in our spiritual discipleship, call us back to first principles. And so, Lord, sustain the congregation, young and old alike. Lord, thou knowest the hearts of each one of us better than we ourselves. Sustain in the gospel that finds its rest in Jesus Christ. Grant that these so-called COVID days would not define us, and that we would see clearly the bigger picture of thy providential hand. Help us, we pray, go before us, and hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.